Four. We're talking about the sergeant's mess. Wasn't much heavy drinking in the 2nd 7th? I mean, some battalions are hard drinking and have hard drinking officers or sergeants, but some battalions hardly drank at all. What would you say that it was in the 2nd 7th?
I think it was fairly heavy, if you could get it. we were governed, I think, by what was available. But, people didn't get paralytic. No, of course not. Particularly as you went into action more and more, then people did used to say, well, come on, let's have a few, because you never know.
That's probably later than the 16th, do you think? In the sergeant's mess, was there much of a difference between regular, older sergeants, perhaps old territorial sergeants, and you newer sergeants who, you know, were hostilities only? Or were you all pretty homogeneous, you know, pretty sort of...
Well, I don't think there's much opposition at all, really. No, I don't.
So you all got along pretty well?
Fairly well together.
When you set up a mess, would you be able to set up a darts board and things like that? I mean, would things like that be done for you, or was it just a room with a bar?
Well, depending, again, on the circumstances, because sometimes it was under canvas, you see. When we were in Iraq, for instance, it was under canvas. We had what I thought was quite a good sergeant's mess there, but you made do with what you had, you see. Yes, on the whole, it was quite good, and... I didn't experience any problems, and I left them then.
That's right. Now, when did you leave them? Do you know which month, roughly?
Yes, about the time of Salerno, I'd say.
So it was September 43.
Yes. About the time of Salerno.
So you didn't go with them then?
No, I didn't.
Did you regret that in a way, or were you glad to be out of it?
Well, I haven't. I hadn't really thought about it much. I wouldn't say that I positively regretted it, or didn't really. It was just one of those things. You made a decision, you see, and you accept what the decision brings.
Now, the six of you applied, six or so, yeah, applied for a commission. Yeah. How did they civ you? Sort of, I mean, did you have a preliminary interview within your battalion with the colonel
the colonel first of all, yes.
So that would be Block, or had he gone then?
No, he was still there. I think he must have been shortly to go after that.
Now, what was the interview like? I don't really expect you to remember the details, but what sort of thing were they looking for in the interview, would you say?
Well, first of all, the interview was with the second in command and two other officers. One of whom who knew me, I'd served with, and one who hadn't, you see. They asked one or two questions about your background, what you did, etc., etc., and so on, so on. And that was it. And then, and the RSM, of course.
And they were looking to just to check that you were a suitable sort.
Well, yes, I think so. And I think they looked more at your regimental record, you see. Your record within the regiment since you joined, or whatever.
So that you'd been a good soldier, well, and were reliable and a good NCO.
Well, that's what they were looking for, you see. And I passed, strange enough, but I passed, you see. And all five did. And then we had to go to the officer selection board.
What about with Block? Did you have?
Yes, I had to see him. Yes.
Was that in between or?
No, after that, battalion then had decided that they would recommend you for a commission, and you had to go and see the colonel, which I did, and he asked one or two questions and so on and so on, and that was it.
So he was just, I suppose, satisfying himself that you were suitable, or was he wishing you well?
Obviously, wishing you well. I don't know whether that was a normal procedure or not, you see, but the initial selection came from the second in command, Dave Baines, and two others, one of whom I served with. Well, one of whom was this Peter Daith, who was the baggage officer when we went abroad, you see, so we knew each other very well indeed. And we went to the, I think they called it Wasbury War of his selection board. I think that was at Tripoli or outside Tripoli, and you had to answer all these questions. They gave you these aptitude tests and so on and so on.
What sort of things?
All sorts of things. Putting squares and triangles and so on. And then you had to do one or two group things. You had to get a barrel across the ditch and so on with a tripod, you know, and all that sort of thing to see whether you were suitable. And you had to, I think you had a meal with them too. Because I think at the end of all, they were scraping the barrel a bit, you know, when it comes to material.
So the meal was to check you had suitable manners, or?
Yes, that you didn't impede with your knife and so on, that you were suitable, you see, I suppose.
So it's a bit of a social check.
Oh, indeed, very much, really, yes. Yes. I don't think it's anything to do with military efficiency whatsoever, you see. But, because I've never forgotten, there was one little chap, he was a sergeant major, I forget his name, but he was a cockney, he was a good little sergeant major there, and after the meal, you see, and there were four or five of us in around the table discussing things as you do, and this chap, and the officer was from the Argyll and Southern Highlands, you see, and I suppose his job was to monitor. And this little cockney sergeant major, at the end, where people were handing out cigarettes in cases, he dived in his pocket and took out a dog end. And I saw, at the corner of my eye, I saw this chap in the Argyll and Southern Highlands. He went rigid. I don't know what happened to this chap. I never saw him again. But I think he came to Octu with us, but I didn't. But he's a good little soldier. But you see, I don't know that perhaps he would have done them. He would have passed all testing with flying colours. You see,
so you passed this.
Yes.
And you were sent to, was it the Middle East, Octu? Where would that be?
There were two places. I can't remember which came first. Haifa was one. And Sarafand was the other. Now, I can't remember which went to first.
And what was the nature of the... What can you tell as much as you can about how they set about turning you into an officer then?
Well, there were a lot of lectures. The drill was pretty good. They were all guards. All guards. The drill instructors. And they were very good, I thought, you see, because they knocked us all into shape. Because we were all sorts, you see. Army Service Corps, infantry, who are... I reckon should be the smartest, and were the smartest, you see, us and all sorts. But they knocked us into shape, and they gave us lots and lots of lectures on army administration. You see, the various, you know, compartments and who you, how you got on with AQ and troop movements and all sorts of things, you see. But I've forgotten that. I've forgotten. It's too long ago.
And what about military things? Were you put through another weapons course? Or was that presumed?
I think it was presumed, because I think you were going to whichever arm you were going, you see. I think we did rifle drill, etc. And the drill was quite good, as I said, because we had these guards, sergeant majors, they were a very good instructor. They were specially picked for the job, you see. They were all about 6'2". And like ramrods, you see, but they knocked us into shape.
What about tactics? I mean, because that's a big thing. I mean, well, the sergeants have very much, but did they give you tutes or tactics without or with troops?
Yes, the officer instructors were involved, were quite involved with lots of lectures, lots and lots of lectures.
Do you remember any of the principles of tactics they were trying to get across to you, or?
It was more admin. I always got the impression it was more admin. What you wanted to do when you wanted so and so, how you got through the distribution of ammunition, etc. But I may be wrong.
That's what you remember of it. Yes. You don't remember the tactical side,
no.
Fire and movement.
You played a lot of sports as well. You played a lot of hockey. I was very keen on it. And it was marvellous really, because they had all these asphalt playgrounds, you see, we used to play hockey in them, and it was jolly good.
What about cricket? Any cricket there, or in the army?
No, I didn't. No, I'm going back too far. Yes, I played in Kent, but that's, I've passed that already anyway.
Yeah.
But
so hockey was the game?
Yes, in Palestine, yes.
Were there any of the members of your course that you particularly remember, or any that went to the 16th Durham with you that were there that you recall?
Yes, Dick Hewlett and a man named Mac Vicker. But I don't recall much about Mac Vicker, but I remember Dick Hewlett, of course, because we served together for some time after that.
What were your first impressions of the Hewlett?
Well, he was quite a good hockey player. that's not the right priority, but yes, I think he made quite a good cadet, and I imagine he did quite well. I think he did quite well when we joined the battalion, when we joined the 16th. But Mac Vicker came, and I don't know what. Oh, I think he went as an instructor somewhere after that. But there were quite a number who went to our brigade. You see that.
Was Waymark with? No, Waymark was later. Yeah. So, was there a fear of being RTU'd, returned to unit, or did you know you'd pass? Because some, you know, or were they just not doing that much at that stage, desperate for officers?
Well, I think they were desperate for officers, quite frankly. I'm sure they were. I'm sure they were. Well, it's the end of the war and tremendous casualty, of course.
How did they assess you? Did they grade you at the end, or?
I've got a C.
That's the normal mark. I know it sounds low, but that's normal, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I think B was C. And I don't know if anybody, I don't remember anybody being an A, but presumably that's the basis of university marking, isn't it? I would think. I don't know. But I'll get a C, I think. Well, I did get a C.
And what regiment did you ask to be commissioned into? Or I believe you have to give a choice, but who did you select?
I didn't select the Queen's because I thought it would be better to, you shouldn't serve. I didn't think you, not that I would have got, perhaps gone back to the same battalion. I would have liked to, but I don't think that it would have been right, because it doesn't seem to work out. There's too much familiarity, I think, if you have been in there and so on. And I can't remember.
Who did you ask for? I mean, did you ask for the Durhams, or was that just where you
were? No, I was just posted to the Durhams.
Do you remember who you were commissioned into?
I was commissioned in the Wiltshire Regiment. Yes.
And you hadn't picked them, or? So that was just, you were assigned to them?
Yes. Yes, I was commissioned to them, because I never served with them, you see, because for the simple reason that I joined the DLI, you see. Because when
did you have any desire to serve with a Wiltshire regiment? Did they have many battalions out there?
I don't know. I never heard of the Wiltshires, actually. But I think they've been a good county regiment, a good country regiment, you know, before, you see, because I think the country boys are pretty good.
So, when did you finish your course? You started in September.
And we finished. Yes, I got impetigo down on the gazelle, and that put me back 1 month. My face was all blue, you know, with this stuff that they used to put you gentian violet or something on, but it went, I was delayed a month. Now, we must have finished the course, I would think, sometime in the early spring, because we came back, from memory this is, we came back to Egypt from Palestine, and the the 16th, I think 139 Brigade were there, and they were recruiting, because I saw Johnny Preston. He was the colonel of the 16th at the time, and I saw him along with Mac Vicker, and I think it would have been Dick Hewitt. I don't think there was anybody else there. And of course, he accepted us in.
They'd had a lot of casualties during the first Italian campaign, and so they were topping up from other regiments.
Yeah, that's right.
And were you offered the choice? Did you look for this, or did you volunteer to be interviewed?
We just. I forget now how this arose. I forget how it arose. But I think we went down to some holding place and we were interviewed, because the obvious thing to do once we'd been commissioned, once we passed that, would be to join a unit, you see. And Colonel Preston happened to be there. I think all the three colonels from 139 Brigade would have been there, because some went at the same time to the Foresters. I think Welshman was the man's name now, I think. And the other was the York and Lancasters, I think, was the other unit.
Did you pick that? Say, I'll go and see Preston rather than Welshman?
I can't remember how we led up to this, but the only thing I remember is that I saw Johnny Preston. For some reason, the Chippy Block's name was mentioned, you see. Whether he knew, I presume he knew that I came from the Queen, I don't know, but I assume he did, you see. And he said, well, you come and join me the 16th, you see.
There wasn't much to the interview then. I mean, did you remember anything else? What were your first impressions of Preston? Because he's quite a character. I mean, you didn't fight. He had gone before you went back to when you went back to Italy. But do you remember what impression he made on you?
Yes. I think I can't tell you what impression he made on me, because I had the first instance, because I hadn't known him long enough. But within the battalion, he was highly regarded, I think, Johnny Preston, as a very good, because he went to be GSO's one or two or something, you see. And we had this man, Worrell, Dennis Worrell, who was a very, very nice man, but he was a very, very nice man indeed, and a regular soldier. But I'm getting quite hesitant now, because I think
you don't want to criticise him.
No,
that's fair enough.
The man is dead, and
fair enough. No problem at all. Now. You joined. Where were the battalion when you joined them then? Were they in Palestine?
They were in Egypt, and we moved up to Palestine to do some, and we did some control work, because at that particular time the Jews, prior to that the Arabs had been on the rampage, and now we had to enforce a curfew, I seem to remember.
Now, before we go, that is the next thing. What company were you put in when you arrived? Into A Company. And who was your company commander at that stage?
Was it D? Well, Duffy was the company commander, Frank Duffy.
What were your initial impressions of Frank Duffy then? What kind of a man was he? He'd been there quite a while, hadn't he? I think he was D, but I'm not entirely certain.
Yes. It was D Company, not A Company, that I went to with Frank. And
what was he like as a bloke?
I would say that he was quite an assertive chap. He had quite a strong personality, Frank. Because I think he was a major then, you see. He got an MC. Quite Yes, I like Frank. He wasn't a drinker, mind. And I perhaps you're getting the impression that all I did was drink, but I did like. I was always one of the boys, if you like. So we always had a drink when possible. You see, why not? You see, why not? But yes, I was impressed by Frank Duffy. There's no doubt.
Who were the other platoon? You'd be a platoon commander, I presume. Who were the other ones?
Yes, in D Company. I can't remember. I've got an idea. McVicar came. This chap. I've got an idea. McVicar came.
What about Doug Tiffin? I think
and Tiffin.
What was he like?
Well, I didn't have a lot to do with Doug Tiffin, in actual fact, because soon after, I know what happened, McVicar was given the mortar platoon. And Harry Minehere, who was the CEO of S Company, he didn't get on with McVicar for some reason, or McVicar didn't get on with him. And he was moved. And I was given the job, you see. Well, I got on, as it happened, we became great friends, Harry Minehere and I.
So, what was Harry like then?
I like Harry. He was a little jawly, hard little jawly. I think he always looked for number one, Harry did, you know.
For himself?
Yes. And he was very friendly with Bert Newman, who was the quartermaster. Yes, I liked Harry. He had a good sense of humour. And, yes.
Was he a good company commander? I mean, did he have a good grasp of situations? Although it's a bit early to be going on to that, because you're not in action yet, but was he a competent officer as well as a nice bloke?
Well, you see, in support company, he really had specialists, if you like, to do the job. So it wasn't so important as for a rifle company commander, you see, because you had the anti-tank platoon, the mortars, etc., the signals, all specialist people, and I don't basically think that perhaps Harry was so involved with it.
So he was more administrative?
Yes, yeah, very much so, yes.
So the platoon commanders, the mortar platoon commander, the anti-tank platoon commander, the carrier platoon commander, yes. They would be the commanders in action, that they'd be responsible
to. That's right.
And they'd be more dealing with the company commander of, say, A Company or B Company, or the colonel.
That's right. Harry's part, you see, because you had these specialists, Harry really didn't, I mean, for instance, he would never play any part in the mortar platoon, you see. Or the carrier platoon, I take it, or the anti-tank platoon, but I can't remember for the life of me now who commanded, say, the anti-tank platoon, or who.
I just look at a few more officers when you arrive. Well, I mean, some of the other, there's Preston. What was Preston like as a bloke in the mess? I'm talking about the officers' mess.
Well, I think he was a typical regular soldier, John Preston, you see. He was a regular, when he joined. When he was commissioned sometime in the 30s, I imagine, a year or two before the war. But he had a very good reputation, Johnny Preston. I think he was what you'd expect as a regular soldier commanding a regiment.
Was he a hard drinker?
I think he liked, I think he liked his spirits, yes. I think he did.
But it didn't affect his efficiency from what you were saying earlier?
I don't think anybody drank to that extent, you know. I mean, I've always been a hard drinker, for goodness sake. Well, within reason, I have. It's been I suppose people would say, Donnie, well, he was a hard drinker. But there again, I enjoy a social drink. I enjoy meeting people, you see. And
Who were your group in the mess then? In the Middle East mainly, but I mean, who were the
Well, Collins and I, because we were in Esca. Oh, Russell Collins had a carrier platoon. Of course he did. Well, we messed up a lot together, you see. Even though it was quite a gap. He was only a very, very young compared with me, because 6 or 7 years then is quite a gap, you see. I was 6 or 7 years older than Russell. Collins.
What was he like then? I mean,
well, he was very forthright. He called a spade, Russell Collins, and there was no messing with Russell. If he said no or didn't want, you know you'd know straight away. He was quite a strong character, Russell Collins, there's no doubt about it. And I think a very good soldier, too, you see.
Did he drink much?
Well, only because I was sweating. I shouldn't say that, but no, he was a good soldier, and oh yeah, I've seen him drunk. Well, of course, you've seen him drunk, or occasionally, or slightly over, perhaps. But all this, you know, it's coming back. You see, we're delving now into 50-odd years of forgotten memories, if you like. But you brought a lot of it back to me this morning.
What about other officers? Any other particular friends amongst the officers?
Well, Mitchell.
Is that Ray Mitchell?
Yes. Now, Mitchell and we played cricket together. He opened the innings for Walton before the war on Thames, which is only just over here, you see. And I met him when I first joined, of course. He was commanding B Company, I think. And he was soon after that, he got his majority. He was a captain when I first met him, and he got his majority. But yes, we now he was quite a lad, Ray Mitchell. We
in what way?
Well, particularly when you were enjoying yourself in the mess, I remember we were playing rugby in one of the places, in one of the clubs, officers' clubs somewhere, and we were passing this cushion, and unfortunately there were one or two ladies. There were females in there, you see, and I think they took him. But it was very boisterous. Very, very boisterous indeed. Because Ray Mitchell, he got his shirt torn. And he was quite a character.
Was he a bit of an artist, people keep
saying? Oh, yes. He's a very clever artist. Because I met him, I was in Cottonwood way after the war. He died a long, long time ago, mind you see. But he was involved in a commercial enterprise here, something to do with Bendy Toys, I think.
What about during the war? I mean, did he paint pictures at the time?
I can't remember. I've no knowledge of that. I can't remember.
What about the other company commanders or senior people? Alan Hay would be
yes.
A company, would he?
Yes, Alan was, again, quite a forthright man and a very committed Durham man. Very, very committed indeed, you see. Very, very much so. As was Giff Footer. You've heard of Footer, I think.
What was he like? Because we've heard of him, but I haven't got too close to him yet. I mean, what he was like.
He was a hell of a character. One particular place, I can't remember, but we had one or two runners, you know, because we had to... I was there supporting the mortars.
I think more... If we'll come back to that, but more, what was he like as an officer in the mess, I think?
Well, he was very jovial. Very jovial. Could always see a joke. Yes. Very much so, Giff Footer. Mm.